to the podcast called Grace Matters, about God's work in our lives and in all of creation. Today's podcast we'll call, Grace in a Stolen Miracle. And most of the scripture passages, if not all I use, are from the Message, the more contemporary version of the Bible. So, let's begin. Most of us have all heard the saying, there are no atheists in foxholes. I personally don't believe there are atheists anywhere. God has implanted in every soul just enough light or awareness to know that somewhere, somehow, God, or even a God, exists. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, but the basic reality of God is plain enough. Open your eyes, and there it is. By taking a long and thoughtful look at what God has created, people have always been able to see what their eyes as such can't see. Eternal power, for instance, and the mystery of his divine being. So nobody really has a good excuse. What happened was this. People knew God perfectly well, but when they didn't treat him like God, refusing to worship him, they trivialized themselves into silliness and confusion, so that there was neither sense nor direction left in their lives. Now, the reality of God is present to everyone, everywhere, but people, though they know God or of God, they choose not to honor God. Some people even worship or honor themselves, which is sort of what Adam and Eve did, if you recall, back in the Garden of Eden. And since the world that we live in is just like one large foxhole, you would be hard-pressed to find someone anywhere who doesn't look for help outside of themselves. From the scriptures, we learn there's something of God's life in every part of creation. In the Gospel of John in chapter 1, it talks about the logos, or the universal divine reason, and John writes that everything was created through this universal divine reason. Nothing, not one thing came into being without him. And look at Colossians 1, verse 16, speaking about how that divine reason became enfleshed in Christ. For everything, absolutely everything above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence, and he holds it all together right up to this moment. Now, when Paul, the apostle, was at Athens, Greece, you can read this in Acts chapter 17, he tells the philosophers there the same thing, because people who knew philosophy knew about all of this. They wanted to believe in something, and Paul explained to them that the something was actually a someone. So it reads this way in verse 22 and following. So Paul took his stand in the open space at the Areopagus and laid it out for them. He said, it is plain to see that you Athenians take your religion very seriously. When I arrived here the other day, I was fascinated by all the shrines I came across. And then I found one inscribed, to the God nobody knows. Well, I'm here to introduce you to this God, so you can worship intelligently and know whom you're dealing with. Somewhere there is a source of justice where people wouldn't say it's just not fair. Some even ask how a good God could allow evil. These are all questions that point to a higher power, as the folks in AA term God. You see, humans put their trust in so many things. People, ideas of all which are earthly designs that attempt to satisfy a deeper longing for someone, maybe something, trustworthy. Psalm 19 has a beautiful way of expressing it. God's glory is on tour in the skies. Godcraft on exhibit across the horizon. Madam Day holds classes every morning. Professor Knight lectures each evening. From Psalm 19. Even astrologers, if you will, were the first to search the skies for a Messiah and found him even before religious leaders did. And the Bible teaches us again in Acts 14, God has not left himself without some witness to his being and his goodness. Sometimes people say, knock on wood, or they refer to the man upstairs, or say, oh my God, or thank God, or God help me, or thank goodness. These are all expressions tied to a sense of someone outside ourselves. Which brings us to the stolen miracle. I would suggest that the lady who touches Jesus' garment in the story in Luke chapter 8 actually steals a miracle provided to her by God's grace. Now, perhaps steal is a bit too strong, and we might say that she clandestinely found a way to God through touch. A friend of mine says that every person on earth has some point of contact with God in his or her life. For our friend in Luke 8, the hem of Jesus' garment, the robe, was that point of contact, getting just close enough to the ever-present grace of God. Here's her story from verses 33 on. In the crowd that day there was a woman who for 12 years had been afflicted with hemorrhages. She'd spent every penny she had on doctors, but not one had been able to help her. She slipped in from behind and touched the edge of Jesus' robe. At that very moment, her hemorrhaging stopped, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When no one stepped forward, Peter said, "Oh, but Master, we've got crowds of people on our hands. Dozens have touched you." The Bible tells us that God causes his sunshine and rain to fall on the evil and good folk alike in this world, and it's what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, referring to God's care for everyone. Or as Papa, the character in the book The Shack, says to Mac, God is particularly fond of you, and everyone. For the woman in our story in Luke 8, the hem of Jesus' garment was just enough. And recall how she made the effort to receive that which had been waiting for her, orchestrated by God the Maestro. In Matthew 9, verse 21, the words are recorded that she really wanted to touch this healer, this Messiah, and she wanted to do it discreetly, for her problem was probably a chronic menstrual bleeding, which would have made her too unclean even to touch Christ, the Holy Man. A point of contact, a miracle stolen, or the grace of God just hanging there for the taking. As a pastor, there have been many times when I was asked to perform a marriage, a funeral, or a baptism by people who were looking, perhaps secretly, for some good luck, a good start, some comfort, all being points of contact to touch the sky, as it were. I suspect that for many the motive was to get closer to God, and for many it was a matter of doing the right thing. But either way, they're all points of contact. Sometimes a hospital visit for a non-believing patient, a telephone call, a prayer. Who knows how the point of contact will bring life? Because life is what God is about. And God is everywhere. at every moment. Listen to Jeremiah in chapter 23 from, again, the Message. Am I not a God near at hand? God's decree, and not a God far off. Can anyone hide out in a corner where I can't see him? God's decree again. Am I not present everywhere, whether seen or unseen? That's God's decree, God's promise, as it were. Now here's the thing. Christians are the body of Christ, clothed with Christ at all levels of maturity. But the grace belongs to our strong, loving God. We may not even have enough faith, but even that's enough faith, ironically, for it was the faithfulness of Jesus that impacted this lady. Galatians 3 says, but now you have arrived at your destination by faith in Christ. You are in a direct relationship with God. Your baptism in Christ was not just washing you up for a fresh start. It also involved dressing you up in an adult faith wardrobe. Christ's life, the fulfillment of God's original promise. You see, that's what you and I, people of faith, that's what we offer by our very being. That's what people touch, the unseen faithfulness of Christ at work in us, sometimes knowingly and sometimes not. And now the rest of the story. This beautiful thief is caught, not by the disciples. They're still learning the extent of the grace of the Master. They are bewildered by Jesus' question, "Who touched me?" Everyone was jostling, and they were pressing up against disciples and Jesus. But in the melee, there was a secret, desirous touch of an unclean woman. She wanted to remain anonymous, but the miracle was so evident in her body, in her life, that she confesses as to why she touched Jesus. Now, I think that Jesus is thrilled that this ostracized woman would dare come close enough, risking her reputation, but her story is meant for every soul that thinks him or herself unworthy of God's grace for whatever reason. Sometimes I wonder if Christians might feel something just by the pressing of someone close by, maybe by uttering a blessing for a neighbor or a loved one, or some member of society's outcast that won't even darken the doorway of a church. A word, a touch, a whispered prayer may just activate the power or grace that is all around us. And that grace might even be received by a hidden, a secret, a stolen miracle. Thanks for listening, and may God bless you.